just as you
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Laurie. I had a few thoughts for you who have recently made a commitment or a recommitment to follow Jesus Christ. Let me first of all say that if you have made that decision, congratulations, because that is the most important decision you're ever going to make. And I'd like to begin by telling you a little bit of what God has done for you. Then I'd like to share some thoughts on what you need to do to grow spiritually. First of all, do you realize what God did for you when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? The Bible teaches that He has forgiven you and He has justified you. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then the Bible also tells us in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Now, you can hear verses like that and say, well, so what? I don't really know what that means to me. But let's think about it for a moment. The word that is used here, justified, is very important. It carries a twofold meaning. First of all, it speaks of the forgiveness of your sin, because the day you put your faith in Christ is the day your sins were instantaneously forgiven. Now, don't rush over that idea. I want you to think about it for a moment. Let it sink in. Have you ever done anything that you're ashamed of? Have you ever done things that you wish you'd never done? Listen. The Bible says if you have asked for God's forgiveness, you are indeed forgiven. The book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 38 to 39 says, brothers, listen, in this man Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of your sin. And everyone who trusts in Him is freed from all guilt and declared righteous or justified. Then speaking of your sins, God says, I will never again remember your sins and your lawless deeds. That's amazing. God has taken your sins, He's thrown them into the sea of forgetfulness, and He has posted a sign that says, no fishing allowed. So listen, don't remember what God has chosen to forget. He has said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Our God has a big eraser. So thankfully, He has erased your sins because you've put your faith in Christ. And as they say in those commercials that you see sometimes on television, but wait, there's more. There is a lot more that God has done for you. Not only has God forgiven you and justified you, but this word justified speaks not only of the fact that God has removed your sins, but it also speaks of what He has put in the place of those sins. Justification is more than just forgiveness and the removal of the guilt and condemnation that accompanied it. You see, justification has a positive side as well, which includes what He has done and given to you. The word justified means to put in one's account. When God justifies a person, He does so by placing to that person's credit all the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that, of course, balances the moral and spiritual budget for us. The Bible says in Philippians 3:9, being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, that's not a gradual process. It's immediate. It's instantaneous. It would be like this. Let's say that you were radically in debt for, say, $10 million, and the creditors were banging at your door. There was no hope for you to ever repay this enormous debt yourself. And then someone comes along and just pays your debt for you. You are happy to simply no longer be in debt. But then this guy goes down and puts a deposit in your account. So you go down to your local ATM and you check out your balance and you have $20 million waiting for you. That's what God has done for you. He has not only forgiven you of all the wrong things that you have done, but He has placed in your account the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that is good news. Now, not only has God forgiven you and justified you, but the Bible says He has adopted you into His family as well. The Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but one of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, you are now a child of God. probably ought to be asking the question, what can I do to better know this God who has forgiven me, this God who has justified me, this God who has so graciously adopted me into his family? Well, there are some important steps you need to take as a Christian that will encourage you in spiritual growth. And by the way, you will never outgrow these steps. Number one, you need to read the Bible. You might say that the Bible is the user's manual of life that we've been searching for all of these years. Now, if you're like me, when you're putting something together, you ignore the directions and do it on your own. And if you're also like me, you have a lot of things that you put together that were not assembled properly. It's such a great idea to go and consult the user's manual and God's directions that he has given to us to live a fulfilled Christian life. And listen, success or failure in the Christian life is determined by how much of the Bible we get into our hearts and minds and how obedient we are to the principles and teachings found within it. Just as we need to continually breathe oxygen so we can survive, we need to regularly study the Bible to grow and flourish spiritually. The Bible says, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Scripture tells us in Psalm 1 that the happy man is the one who continues in his word day and night. And then the psalmist says, if we hide his word in our heart, we won't sin against him. So start reading the Bible. Start contemplating what the Bible says. Start committing it to memory. Start digging in. I recommend that you start with the Gospel of John. It's a great place to begin because according to that gospel, it was written that we might believe on the name of the Son of God. So it's a great place to get a foundation in your faith. And then after you finish John, just read right through to the end of the New Testament and then go back to the book of Genesis and work your way through the whole Bible. You see, studying the Bible is necessary for spiritual growth. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17 from the New Living Translation, it says, all scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and it teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. You see, the primary reason we need to study the Bible is it was inspired by the Creator of the universe to guide us through this adventure we call life. This passage of Scripture gives us three reasons why we should make the Bible a part of our daily life. Number one, the Bible teaches us what is true. The Bible is the only book we need to discover the foundational truths about how to know and walk with God. Everything you need to know about God is found in the pages of Scripture. You don't need to go anywhere else. Number two, the Bible shows us what is wrong in our lives. God's word serves to reprove us or make us aware of when we're headed in the wrong direction. And thirdly, the Bible helps us to do what is right. If we read and meditate on the word of God, we will be molded into the man or woman God wants us to be. And when we allow the Bible to teach us in these three areas, we're told that we'll be prepared and equipped to do good to everyone. Our foundation will be solid, our motives will be pure, and our character will be more refined. What better reasons are there to make a commitment to stick with Bible study?
We gather to call on your name. We gather to kneel and to say that we are nothing without your touch, O Lord. We say with one voice that we know that you are the God of all, and you will remain forever on your throne. And we bow down, and we bow.
the second step to spiritual growth is you need to learn how to pray. I know the idea of talking to God can sometimes be intimidating, but it doesn't have to be. In fact, prayer can be a wonderful experience if we know how to do it God's way. Fortunately, we have God's Word to teach us how to pray. And the Bible does tell us to pray at all times, in any posture, in any place, and for any reason. That means you can pray when you're driving your car. Keep your eyes open, obviously. You can pray when you're walking down the street. You can pray on your knees with your eyes closed. God will hear you 24 hours a day. And it doesn't matter if you pray in King James English or the most contemporary jargon. God only desires that you pray from a pure and sincere heart. The Bible says, pray without ceasing, for this is God's will in Jesus Christ concerning you. Listen to what the Bible tells us about prayer in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Have you ever been gripped by worry or fear? Worry is that completely unproductive emotion. It's the advance interest we pay in troubles that seldom come. But these verses tell us that the best antidote for worry is prayer. God wants to be the first one we turn to in times of crisis. And when we do, He promises a special blessing if we do the following four things. Number one, stop worrying and start praying. Don't even think that your need is too insignificant for God's attention. He wants us to pray about everything, the Bible tells us. Number two, tell God your needs. Even though God is all-knowing and obviously is well aware of everything you're facing, He wants you to verbalize your needs to Him and place them in His hands. Thirdly, present your request with thanks. Instead of praying with feelings of doubt, we can thank God for His answers in advance because of the promises He's made to us in His Word. And fourthly, receive God's peace. Once you do these things, verse 7 says, you will experience the peace of God. And by the way, in the original Greek text, that verse literally means that God's peace will mount a garrison or a guard around your heart and mind to keep you and protect you during those difficult times in your life. So the next time you're tempted to worry about something, channel into prayer all of the energy you just put into worrying. Say something like this, Lord, here's my problem. It's getting bigger every day, but I'm putting it into your hand, and I am not going to worry. Lord, instead, I'm going to trust in you, and I'm going to even thank you in advance for what you're going to do because you know what you're doing. God is available to listen to you 24 hours a day. The good news is God doesn't have voicemail. He's always there. He cares about you. So start praying. You might even start now.
Yeah. I would like to walk this world with you. Oh. never want to be apart from you. Oh, Lord. I am sometimes overwhelmed by truth. Your ways. Could it be that I was made for you?
Spiritually, you need to get actively involved in a church. Now, this is one of the essential building blocks of growing up as a Christian. When I speak of the church, I'm not speaking primarily of a building as much as I'm speaking of gathering together with other people who love the Lord and want to grow spiritually. You see, the church is not so much of an organization as much as it's an organism. It's alive and it's a body of believers. It thrives by keeping its members spiritually active and well-fed and gives us spiritual instruction. The church allows you to worship God with other believers and enables you to use your God-given gifts and abilities as God intended, and it also makes you accountable to spiritual leadership. Now, some people think, well, I'll just read some Christian books or listen to Christian radio, and those things are good. They have their place. But you still need to be an active, functioning part of a body of believers. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some would do, but rather exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Listen, you need the church, and the church needs you. You have a unique and important part to play. Get involved in a church. The Bible tells a story in the book of Acts of a time when Peter proclaimed the gospel. About 3,000 people put their faith in Christ. Then the scripture says in Acts 2:42, these joined with other believers that devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. Now, what do you look for when you want to find a good church? First of all, look for a church that meets together on a regular basis. You see, these early believers didn't view church like a social club, but as a place for devoted fellowship and Bible instruction. We miss out on tremendous blessing when we neglect meeting with God's people. Because when you're spiritually weak, you should not run from church, but to church. Because the church is not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Number two, look for a church that places a high priority on Bible study. The first century Christians, according to this verse I just read, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And the apostles' teaching on the life and ministry of Jesus eventually became what we know as the gospel portions of the New Testament. We need to study the Bible because, as I've already said, that is essential for spiritual growth.
This time Before even time began, my life was in His hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go.
To talk to you about a fourth step. Let me say the other things I just mentioned deal with taking in spiritually. This deals with giving out spiritually. You need to share your faith in Jesus Christ with other people. Because next to personally knowing Christ and walking with Him, one of the greatest blessings of the Christian life is actually having the privilege of leading someone to Christ. And the good news is God wants to use you, not just pastors or evangelists or missionaries. He wants to use you to speak to other people. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere." This wonderful charge, by the way, is known as the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. It's a command from our Lord and Savior to take this message out to other people. Here's what the Bible says about the gospel message. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I first came to you, I didn't use lofty words and brilliant ideas to tell you God's message, for I decided to concentrate only on Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. I did not use wise, persuasive speeches, but the Holy Spirit was powerful among you. I did this so you might trust the power of God rather than human wisdom." Paul is reminding us in this text that the heartbeat of the gospel message is a story of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So get this message out. If you only know that Christ died for your sins and shed his blood for you and has come into your life and he has forgiven you, you know more than most people out there. And remember the simplicity of the gospel. People need to know they're sinners and that sin separates them from God. But God came to this earth and died on the cross and shed his blood for us that we might be forgiven. So we'll turn from our sin and put our faith in him and follow him and we can be forgiven. Of course, 3 days after that crucifixion, Christ rose from the dead. We need to get that message out to other people. And you know what else? There's power in the gospel message. The Bible says, Paul speaking, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes." And the word that Paul used there for power is a word that can be translated to say dynamic or dynamite. Paul was essentially saying there is a dynamic, explosive power in the simple message of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, you may not know all the ins and outs of the gospel message yet. You will as you study the Bible more. But you know enough right now to go and tell someone who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for you. Another important truth in sharing your faith is we need to use something that we often refer to as our personal testimony. Our testimony is simply our story of how we came to Christ. And listen, your story is unique. There's no one quite like you. God has done a wonderful work in your life. Why don't you tell someone about it today?
Deep in my heart, your presence I find. Oh.
These are simple steps I've shared with you. There's a lot more that I could say, but I just want to start with these principles that I have shared so you can get started in the Christian life. And my prayer and hope for you in the days ahead is that you will grow spiritually. God bless you. You've made the right decision, the decision to follow Jesus Christ.